good, everybody. Welcome to the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. This is episode El Numero Dos Gooseg. This is number 20. We have been doing this 20 times now, Jess. Yes. It is so good to be with the exquisite and ever handsome Jess Estep. Jess, what has been going on? Good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you too, man. Well, we've actually had a whole lot going on. I appreciate that introduction, as I do each time we're together. I will have to up my pay. Because it appears that you've upped your game. So glad to be in the zoo today. To everybody listening, we welcome you. We welcome your suggestions and your comments and your questions and anything you want to come and bring our way. And I want to mention also that we're streaming live right now. We're on Facebook Live. And so I think we're going to go exclusively to that venue for our live streaming. And so if you want to turn over to there, then You can view that, you know, after you watch. And
trust me, it's worth seeing what Jess is.
No, I don't believe that, but you can go watch. Of course, it won't be live as you're listening now, but you can go and watch the video that is on our Facebook page. So what's going on? Well, we had some really cool things going on this week that I'm excited about and praising God about. We kicked off our fan van, KYM fan van.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it was a great idea that you had, and of course, we've got the magnets now, and they look really nice on the side of the van. And so we loaded up, and last week we went to a junior varsity and varsity volleyball game.
Nice.
It was actually at Rogers out in your neck of the woods, and watched we have girls playing on both teams, both junior varsity and varsity, and they won all four of their games. They played four games. It was pretty cool the way that they had it set up was they were playing two games at one time. So the varsity was playing at the same time the junior varsity was playing in the on the basketball court. I'd not seen that. But they won all four of their games. Of course, our Brooks students that play for the varsity team, they won the state championship last year. So they're really good, and those young girls are coming up. And then last night we went to Lexington and took some of our junior high and high school boys.
Nice.
Loaded up and went to see one of our seventh graders play football for Mars Hill.
Yeah.
He plays for Mars Hill, and they win, and they won. They won 36-6. So Campbell Gooch did a great job. He played a little bit on defense, a little on offense, and punted.
Oh, nice.
Punted once. Had a really good spiral punt. So he did a really good job last night. And so the fan van is off to a good start. We kicked off our prayer group at Brooks. We have 36 students at Brooks. And I just had this thought that, boy, it'd be great if we got together once a week and prayed about it, prayed about some things and have them request and bring some friends.
Sure.
And I was blown away, Wes. We had 50 people,
That's
50
awesome.
Of those students that came. And and honestly, probably about 38 to 40 of them were students that don't worship here with us. And so I was blown away. I had only gotten 30 biscuits. And so I got to step up my biscuit game on Friday. And we'll do that again on Friday. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Saturday, we went to loaded up some of the young kids, K through 6, and went to a truth camp that the Tuscumbia Church hosted.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Butt was there, and he spoke to the kids. He did a couple of little lessons for them, and then they went to classes and had a rotation.
Yeah.
So they were able to dig in some sand and dig for some bones, and they were taught some things about space. Larry Davenport taught a space room, and I don't know what all they were doing back there in the classes, but Kyle did some lessons for the adults and for the teens, he did an excellent job with those, and so Saturday was great. Sunday, I'm telling you, we had a lot going on. Sunday, we had homecoming that morning, which was great, and then Sunday night, we kicked off. We had our Lads to Leaders kickoff, which was excellent, and looking forward to, were we not just recently talking about the Lads to Leaders review? I mean, that was just, seems like just a few episodes ago, but now we're kicking it back off, and so I'm anxious to get started with that. Wes, you had a pretty big week.
Is that an old joke?
No, it's a big joke. It's a big joke.
Yeah, Sunday I did.
It's a big week.
I turned 30 on Sunday.
That's awesome.
So, it was unique. Lots of people just around me and showing me, you know, just giving me good vibes and showing me lots of love and wishing me happy birthday. And I appreciate that. If you were involved in that on any kind of level, I really appreciate it. Wednesday night after Bible study, the young people and some of the parents gave me a surprise birthday party.
That's cool.
Well, yeah, which was really, really, really neat. And I appreciated that so much. I just went home and found myself unable to quit smiling just because I felt so blessed to be a part of such a good family and to be a part of such a great church and such a great effort. And God's really blessed me, you know, to be from someone who at 5 years old, the doctors were telling my parents in Birmingham Children's Hospital, you know, if he makes it through the night, it's going to be something special. Mm-hmm. To be in 30 is pretty,
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing. So, definitely, you know, give glory to God and thank him for the opportunities that he's put in front of me and the awesome, life that he's given me. And I just, so thankful for those things and, just so many good friends and people reaching out to me. But, you know, and then Sunday rolled around and Exalt happened. It was our first Exalt of the year while mm-hmm. you were having your last leaders kickoff, of course, which is such an important time of the year. And like you said, it just comes up on you so quick. And
yep.
Some of us were able to go to Veterans Park and be a part of the first Exalt of the year. So, you know, just a lot of stuff going on. It's about to get into the really heavy, meaty part of the fall. We've got some trips lined up with our fan van as well, mm-hmm. Different mm-hmm. volleyball things and different football games. You know, so we're kind of be like you, you know, we're just mm-hmm. kind of all over the place, flying a little bit of here, a little bit of there, but it's what makes these trips so special. One of the things I love about the fan van is you can incorporate people from different schools into different school environments, and they get to see how different things operate, and you get to get people from different backgrounds and different different environments, and you get to put them with people that they don't always get to be with. So it's just one of the great things about what we get to be a privilege to be a part of. So, mm-hmm. I love the fan van. Glad that you're doing that. I can't wait to, I saw some pictures last night from mm-hmm. the football game. So, mm-hmm. I think that's great. And I appreciate and applaud you for doing that. Today we're talking about worship and we're talking about the importance of worship, what we do worship for, why we go to worship and what we're trying to get out of it, what we're going to accomplish. So typically we do a first word segment. This will probably be the longest first word that we've ever had. But Jess and I found an article that we wanted to base this podcast off of today about why we worship and what worship is for. So Jess is going to take this time and he's going to read that article verbatim. We just thought it was so important and so powerful that we just wanted to share the entire article with you. Jess, go ahead.
Yeah, and let me let you know up front too that we do not know who wrote this article. There was no marking anywhere from this website. We will post. Try to post the link to this article on the show notes and on Facebook and maybe on Twitter if there's space. But I just want to let you know that we would give credit where credit's due, but I think it was bible.ca and then a lot of numbers and letters after that, that URL. Yeah. So maybe you can find it and find out who wrote it. But the title of it is Worship is Not for Our Entertainment. And here's how it reads. It says, there is an erroneous idea today that the main reason we attend worship is to, quote, get something out of the service, end quote, rather than going there to give our worship to God. This is a selfish motive on our part. This is the reason people cannot be satisfied with the worship service when their emphasis is not on the proper object of worship, God. People want to, quote, do their own thing, end quote, in the worship of the church. What the Bible has to say about worship for many people is of little consequence as long as they are happy and feel good. We must be concerned with what God says on how he is to be worshiped instead of what we might want to offer him. The United States has produced the most entertainment-oriented people the world has ever known. We have more forms of amusement than has ever been known to man, but we still want more. In our age, everything is designed to appeal to our emotions and to entertain us. We seem to have forgotten our worship services to bring glory and honor to God and not to entertain ourselves. When we have choirs to sing to us and concerts to entertain us, we are not worshiping God, but we have become the spectators who are being entertained. Worship is not a spectator event. We dare not become spectators because in worship, it is God who is the spectator. People have the roles reversed. People expect divine will to conform to what seems right in their own eyes. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." The emphasis is, how can the worship service be made more entertaining to people to please themselves and not God? Worship to God is holy and sacred. To pervert and corrupt it with entertainment and what we can get out of the service in trying to please and gratify ourselves is nothing short of blasphemy. The sacredness of true worship must not be sacrificed on altars of entertainment-oriented quartets, choirs, and other entertainment groups. We are, as Hebrews 13:15 says, to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. In worship, we must be the participants, not the observers. We want to please and entertain ourselves. In Galatians 1:10, the question is asked, "Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Worship is God-centered, not man-centered. When our worship is to please God instead of ourselves, then and only then will our worship be much more meaningful and spiritually uplifting to us and acceptable to God. When people seek an emotional high from worship and don't get it, they are disappointed and start blaming the song service, the preacher, etc. The world wants their worship service to be more entertaining. Thus, they are failing to worship God in spirit and in truth. Where in the Bible can we go to show that our worship is designed to please the worshiper? The desire to have an experience or an encounter along the lines of mysticism also gives little regard to what God says in the Bible. Our worship to God requires commitment on our part. People had rather worship Christ as a babe in a manger than Christ as their crucified Savior. Their worshiping Christ as a babe in a manger requires no commitment on their part. They feel they can put Him in a box and live the rest of the year as they please. But worshiping Christ as our crucified Savior requires commitment, a complete change of our life, and a willingness to do all that He says. Jesus says in Matthew 10:37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." God and Christ must first be first in our lives, and this requires that we be committed to them.
Wow. So, obviously, the article is very honest. Mm-hmm. It's very direct. It's saturated with Scripture. It has a lot of the Word of God to defend the points that are being made. So, we're going to ask the question, you know, what do we want to convey to our teens about worship? And how do we enter into worship? How do we approach worship? How do we conduct ourselves in worship? So basically what we're going to do today is we're going to take the heading of the last three paragraphs, mm-hmm. and we're going to try to break those down. We're going to try to apply those to not only our lives, but how we can convey that message to other people and how we want to worship, how we should honor God through our worship. So those are the things that we're going to try to accomplish today. We both have some comments that we want to make, and like we said, we appreciate the article so much. And Jess, who is beyond wise, will be able to put hopefully that link into our show notes and on the Facebook page as well, so that you'll be able to open that and read it. But I'll kind of get us kicked off. And in the first paragraph that we want to talk about, the first line, it says that worship to God is holy and sacred. So we have to think about how far, Jess, we have come from Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5, where mm-hmm. Ezra read the scripture to the people. They stood while it was being read, and there was no commandment to do so. There was no instruction for them to do that, but it exemplifies the reverence that they had towards scripture and what was being read to them and what was being said. Then verse 6, it follows, and it says that the people actually bowed their faces to the ground as they worshiped God. So
very powerful.
Yeah,
very powerful verse, and the imagery of that is amazing.
So one of the great things about Scripture is, you're able to take yourself and envision, you let your imagination work, and you kind of see things like that happening. One of the more powerful things that I ever remember was being at camp and doing the sounds of the cross, and you're able to put yourself in that mm-hmm. You're imagining that situation and that scenario, and you hear those things being said, and you hear the power of what's being said. But when you read these two verses and you read them as they should be read, and you think, okay, so as the scripture's being read to them, they're standing up in reverence because that's God. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's His word being, you know, established and given to us. And then the very next verse is they worship Him. You know, they don't even see themselves as being worthy. They're showing absolute humility and just showing that they're not worthy of their face even being seen, because it's not about them. Mm-hmm. It's about worshiping the Father. So you see that humility of those people knowing, you know, we're just not worthy.
Yeah, not worthy of the glory of God, and He's the only one that makes us worthy in His eyes, but we know that we know each other, we know ourselves, and right. we know that we're not worthy, and I do love that imagery. I love, you know, they stand for the word of God to be spoken, and then they bow, they prostrate themselves, and with their heads to the ground to take all the distraction away, so that nobody's getting praised over anybody else, that all they're focused on is God, and I love that. I don't know what all they were doing as part of that worship, but I do know that it was very God-centered, and they were respecting God. And, you know, you look at some of the rising trends in worship services around all of, you know, the religious groups around the country and around the world, and you see a lot of rock concert-style
sure.
worship services and things like that. A lot of times you'll see it on the internet, or you might turn the TV on and it's there, or maybe some of your teens have talked about, you know, this place or that, and that's what it's like. And it seems like that's so far removed from this humility that is spoken of in Nehemiah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the complete opposite. You don't find that humility there.
Right.
And I don't want to sound judgmental. I really don't. But there's a stark difference between Nehemiah 8
yeah.
and what you see a lot of today
right.
in your worship services. And I don't know how we've gotten that far away from that humility. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know how we've gotten so far away from what the focus is in our worship. But as the guy and the or the woman, I don't know who wrote it, the article
yeah.
says worship to God is holy and it's sacred. And so tell us what that means. What does that mean to be holy and sacred in our worship?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously it means, you know, to be set apart. God has, you know, God's designated worship to be an experience that's something totally different from what you find in the everyday world. It's mm-hmm. It's just not what you're going to find the world doing. You're not going to find the world being centered and focused on someone else and glorifying and giving honor to someone else. The world we live in, and I hear my teenagers struggle with it all the time, they're just around people who are just so self-centered. They're just so self-serving. Everything they want to do is about them. They don't want to be a part of anything bigger than them. They want it to all be about them. So I think worship is something that, to be sacred and to be holy, it has to be set apart from anything else that we're doing. It can't be about us. It can't be focused on us. The sole purpose of it is to edify each other and to glorify God. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and when we take away from those things and we don't allow those things to happen, it's not about God. And worship should be about Him. That's what the focal point is. That's what we're there to do. That's what we're there for. And otherwise, you know, if we don't worship God and we don't make it holy and sacred and set apart from things of the world, it becomes about us and it becomes focused on us. And then our worship is basically, it's meaningless. When we're not focused on what we need to be focused on, who we need to be focused on, it just becomes something that doesn't hold any water. It doesn't mean anything, because we've lost the meaningful aspect of what worship really and truly is. So,
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
We have got to get back to the purpose for our worship.
Yeah.
And we've got to get back to that idea that it is holy, that it is set apart for God, that it is that is the only reason, that is why we come together to worship Him. And it's not to, you know, to make a spectacle
right.
of it,
yeah.
you know, and how exciting and how majestic can we make
yeah.
it. And we're going to get into some of that with this next one. Why don't you go ahead and introduce the next?
Yeah, so in the next paragraph of the article, he says, or she says, when people seek an emotional high from worship and don't get it, they are disappointed and start blaming the song service, the preacher, and etc. Is an emotional high what we should aim for in worship. Now, let's say this. Let's get this out there. Worship should be emotional.
Right. I totally agree.
When you enter into the presence of God like that, and it's so sacred and holy, you should have some sort of emotion. If you're not worshiping God with all your heart, you're not going to have an emotion. You're not going to feel the presence of God in that place, because you're just not there for the right purpose. So let's put that out there. Worship should be emotional, but it's not like riding Goliath at Six Flags, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty thrilling. It's not a thrill-seeking adventure. You're not out there to, you know, to put your hands up and, you know, don't hold on to the bar because you're just along for the ride. You're there for a purpose.
Right.
And, you know, we can't deviate from that purpose, you know. And you and I have heard it for so many times, and so many people have heard it before. You get out of worship what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're entering into worship with the idea of it's about me,
yeah,
you're going to leave disappointed, because something's going to happen. The song leader's going to lead a song that you don't like. Maybe the scripture reading that ties into the sermon is the genealogy of Jesus, and there's a whole lot of names there, and you know, you don't really follow or whatever. Which, by the way, that's a difficult passage of scripture to read on Sunday morning. We've ran into that a couple of times, but you know, those are things that are important, and you need to know those things, and you need to study those things. So what you're putting into worship is getting. You know,
is what you're going
to get out of it. But Jess, you made an interesting comment when we were talking about the show today, and it made me ask this question. Can you have a meaningful, emotional worship service without a fog machine and flashing lights?
Oh, you want me to answer
that? What do you think?
Absolutely, you can have a meaningful worship without it.
Yeah.
People have been doing that for hundreds of years and, you know, a couple thousand years until those things were invented. And you gotta figure there was some emotion that was going on. You can look at the New Testament and read about some of the things that they were doing and tell me they weren't, you know, filled with emotion and gladness and thankfulness. Yeah. And I just think it all goes back to what you were saying. You know, if you're looking around at the people in your worship service and you're expecting to gain from what everybody else is doing. Now, there's an element of that, you know, the encouragement part and the edification and all of that. But if you're basing whether I'm going to be engaged in this worship service, I'm going to be involved, I'm going to sing out, and I'm going to be focused in this prayer, and I'm going to pay attention to this lesson based on what's going on around you, you've missed the point.
Oh, absolutely.
You've missed the point. If that's all you're doing is trying to gain an emotional high, a thrill from being in worship, you've missed the point. And so, yes, I think, you know, somebody, I was talking about this topic to somebody the other day, and they said, take away the fog lights or the fog machines, maybe fog lights, take away the band, take away all of that stuff. And what are you left with? What are you left with?
Right.
Is there meat?
Yeah.
Is there something there? And I'm afraid sometimes there's not.
Yeah.
That's the pull, though, is that entertainment. But go ahead.
You know, it can be discouraging when we're in a worship service and we're looking around those who are not engaged in the worship service. They're not singing along. Mm-hmm. They're not opening their Bible or, you know, I know, like you, several people have the Bible apps on their phones or their tablets or whatever. And, you know, when you see people not engaged in worship, it can certainly be discouraged. But, you know, we have to... Why is that dictating how we engage in worship?
How much we're putting into it.
Yeah, why should we look at someone else and say, well, you know, they're not really plugged in, so I'm just going to take myself out. You know, I mean, and we talked about Sunday evening in our evening worship. I had the honor and privilege of preaching Sunday. Our minister had an eye surgery, and so he's been down. And so I had to put a lot of study into what we were going into. And we talked about stunted growth. And we talked about why are we not growing as Christians and what could some of the factors be. And one of the factors were the influence that's around us. You know, when we see people engaged in things, or in this particular idea that we're talking about right now, when we're talking about people who aren't engaged in worship, why should we not allow ourselves to grow and just say, you know what, I know what I'm here for and I know what my purpose is. So that can really harm our growth as a Christian if we allow the things around us to dictate how we plug into worship. Jess, what's some of your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and, you know, I think that it's infectious both ways, okay?
For sure.
So
yeah.
If you come in and the few people maybe you're looking to for, you know, whatever, you receive a lot of your encouragement and worship from them, and they're not really participating so much, so you decide you're not going to. Well, then somebody across the room sees you, and you're not participating, and so it causes them not to, and then it causes the next person not to.
Yeah.
That's infectious, okay? And that's infectious in a bad way.
Right.
You know, you're looking around, and then before long, nobody's engaged, and nobody's participating in worship, and that's not good. That's, you know, and that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. on each individual. On the other hand, if you will sing out and be engaged in worship, other people will see that too, and they'll lock in and they'll engage, and then that becomes infectious in a positive way.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my thoughts. But my main thought on this whole deal about emotional highs and thrill seeking in worship and all this is, what are we trying, you know, to connect to with our worship? Are we trying to connect to God? Are we trying to really form a relationship with Him and strengthen that relationship and the edification we have with one another? Or are we there just to be entertained? Because here's the thing, what's going to happen when that goes away?
Yeah.
What's going to happen when, you know, and you could take XYZ church that it might be that has that entertainment. What happens when they decide to pack up and go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Or they fold, you know, and that disappears, and you're left looking for somewhere else to go. Or what happens when your family moves to a city, to a place where that kind of worship is not found? What happens when that senior graduates from high school and goes to college in a small town, maybe that doesn't have that that type of worship experience anywhere around?
Yeah.
You know, I just wonder so much, what are we basing our faith on? Are we connected to the scriptures? Are we connected with God? Or are we connected with being entertained? And when that's taken away and we can't replicate that and we can't find that again,
mm-hmm.
we're probably not going to be faithful anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it,
yeah,
but we're probably not going to, you know, and, you know, hopefully it wouldn't be the case, but, you know, probably what's going to happen is you're going to be so discouraged that you can't find that, and you're not going to be happy with a different kind of worship, a more traditional, more conservative, maybe worship service, that you're going to be so unhappy, you're just not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. That's dangerous territory. And so, you know, we don't need to build our faith on emotional highs and being entertained in our worship. We need to build our faith on the Word of God, what He has done for us, on the gospel. And in our worship, we need to look to the purpose of it that we talked about, and that we glorify God in all that we do. And that needs to be the thrust of our worship.
Yeah, you know, you saying that made me think about a story. When I was at UNA, and there was a guy that I knew very, very well, and he was in the church, and we had kind of grown up together. And he just came to me one day, and he was like, you know, I just don't think I'm going to go to church in the church anymore. And I said, why? And he said, you know, I don't think I'm growing. I just need something different. And so he tried a few different venues, a few different things, and about 2 years later, he came and he visited with us at the church that I was worshiping at when I was in college. And, you know, of course, it was great to see him because I kind of knew the struggle that he was going through, and I said, you know, let's go eat lunch. So as we were eating lunch, I said, you know, tell me kind of what happened. Why are you back with us this morning? And he said, where I was trying to find something, I could not find the truth. He said, I was looking for something else, but the more I examined myself and I examined what was happening, the truth was just nowhere to be found. So the truth speaks,
right?
And the Bible speaks, and our worship to Him will allow us to hear those things and to hear those truths. And when we're fully engaged and we fully understand what's happening, it's not about the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being tied to that. It's not being tied to a certain type of entertainment / worship. It's about fully understanding and trusting in Him.
And we didn't talk about me mentioning this, but I feel like it's important, and I don't mind, you know, saying it. I came out of that type of worship, that type of a church that had, you know, a lot of entertainment. a lot of excitement, you know, not going to lie. I mean, it was exciting to go to, and everybody got into it. But eventually what me and a couple other people came to the conclusion about was exactly what he was saying was, I'm not getting fed.
Right.
And I went from that to the polar opposite, to small, tiny Church of Christ, visiting with a girlfriend at the time, and it completely changed my life. It completely changed my world. I started viewing how I perceived worship a lot different, and how I perceived the scriptures differently, and it all opened up to me. And you know, that might not be your experience. It might not be, you know, how you came to that realization, but that's what it was for me. It just eventually over time, it became almost too much.
Yeah.
It's wow, is this really what this is about? And it's not.
Right.
All right. So the next quote and the final one, towards the end of that article, the writer says, "Our worship to God requires commitment on our part." And I think that's what it all boils down to, is our commitment to God and our obligation, our commitment to God is to worship and praise Him, and to do it really the way that He desires for it to be done. And you can look at the Old Testament and the way that the respect was shown to God, the respect was shown to the Scriptures. We looked at Nehemiah. You can look at Colossians 3:16. It says the teaching and correcting one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:19 says that worship looks like speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. The writer of Hebrews says that we continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, which he says is the fruit of the lips that gives thanks to his name, Hebrews 13:15. Then when you look at when the church was established in Acts chapter 2, the new Christians there were gathering together to study the scriptures, and they were taking the Lord's Supper. And y'all, that's just what it's all about. It's giving honor to God, remembering the Lord's death until he comes, as we've been commanded to do, to sing with our hearts, to sing out with our voices and praising him. And, you know, we just don't need the distraction of all the things that we put in front of us that are there for entertainment.
Yeah. So, you know, we've pulled a few things from this. Sorry about that. We've pulled a few things from this article that were, you know, pretty huge for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, very truthful. I think they served a great purpose. So, you know, we certainly want you to pull this article and look at it and read it and study for your own. And hopefully you'll be able to find who has written this and you can pass it along to us, because we would certainly like to know and be able to recognize that. But in the end, you know, what are we wanting to convey to teenagers, people who are struggling just in general, but specifically teenagers today, anybody else, about what our worship is? And that's simply that it is all about God. You know, and it sounds easy.
Yeah.
But when you live in the environment that we live in, the society that we live in, it's not easy. It's not easy to just dedicate yourself to one cause, one person. You know, there are so many people who want to specialize in certain things. As Christians, we should specialize in honoring God. We should want to honor Him in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we are. Should honor God, and especially through our worship. So when we're talking to our teenagers and anybody else about our worship, it's that they should know that our worship is all about God. That's the focal point. That's the beginning and the end of it. That's where we're focused, from Bible class to worship hour to the Lord's Supper to everything that's involved. It's all about God. So we desire to have a meaningful and emotional worship, but to what compromise? I mean, are we going to go outside of what God desires, you know, what He wants for us mm-hmm. to get that emotional high through entertainment? I mean, what are we sacrificing? Or maybe that emotion needs to come from our attention in worship, through mm-hmm. our prayers, through our singing and singing out and being involved in the songs. Being engaged in communion, scripture reading and teaching. You know, when you think about communion and you're thinking about the time that the Lord's Supper is designed, you know, it's so encouraging to me, and I know you've seen it too, when people open their Bibles
right.
and they read the importance and the meaning of what is happening there and what's happening during that specific time. It's just so important that we tie ourselves in and really, you know, cast off the cares of the world and not really, you know, don't focus on those things. Focus on what we're there for. Focus on the worship. So, you know, let's not sacrifice anything. Let's not give up the opportunity to give our full dedication to a holy and divine worship to God.
I could not agree anymore. And this is... I don't know if you can tell. It's something I'm passionate about. Maybe I've calmed down a little bit from talking to you this this morning, but I just feel very passionate about, you know, just an original, I don't even know how to describe, just primitive almost worship.
Authentic.
That just gets to the heart of being still before God, you know, and taking away what's distracting, what's not commanded even, and just having a real experience with God, but having, you know, everybody that's in that auditorium, wherever you are in that worship setting, just focused, and you're all of your attention on the one who created us, and that's just, that's what life is all about. We don't get anywhere without Him, and He's a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
He's told us so that much.
Yeah,
and I fear for people who put themselves in His place,
to be
the ones gaining the attention in worship.
As you were talking, the word that kind of came to my mind was authentic.
Authentic.
Having an authentic relationship with Him, being authentic in our worship, just being real and understanding what it is and what we're doing. So we hope that you've been able to gain something from this today. Hopefully you'll be able to take it, use it, talk with your teens about it, talk with your friends about it. What the purpose of worship really is. Are we going to worship God and to be authentic in our worship, or are we going to be entertained? And so we encourage you to read the article, pull the article up, and help us to find the author. You know, we want you to read it and read the scriptures that are tied along with it and involve yourself in that. So with that being said, Jess, my friend, it's Final Rush time. What do you got coming up?
Well, college football begins this week, and I guess it already began for some, but for me, it begins Thursday night as our UNA, University of North Alabama Lions, will go on and do battle against the Jacksonville State Gamecocks.
That's right.
And, you know, they played this game. Of course, Jacksonville State has gone up to Division One AA, whatever it's called now, FCS or no, FBS.
I don't know.
They're whatever that lower division of Division One is, they're in it. Well,
why did they mess with that?
I don't know.
Leave it D1.
So Jacksonville State moved up from Division II it's been a while back now, and UNA played them a few years ago, and we went down there to that game, and we almost beat them.
Yeah.
Almost beat them, and it was going to be huge, and I think they won on the last play, or it was real close, and within the last minute, they ended up winning. Well, this past year, Jacksonville State played for the national championship for FBS, I guess it is, national championship game. We're coming in with some new players, with a new quarterback. I'm excited for the game. I want to be a realist about it, but I really hope we win. This is an old rivalry that, it used to be big and still is. And two excellent bands we're going to hear.
Totally different styles.
Two totally different styles, but both excellent bands. I'm excited about that. We have another prayer group coming up Friday at Brooks, and boy, I'm looking forward to an even bigger crowd than 50.
I hope so.
I don't know. I'm probably going to get 60 or 70 biscuits and hope hope that I can get some kind of fundage going for that. Hint, hint, for whoever's listening. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. And so McDonald's is so great that, you know, every 10 or 15 biscuits, they'll give a discount. So just a hint for all you youth guys out there.
Yeah, they're great.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. What about you? You've got another big weekend coming up.
The birthday present is coming into full effect this weekend. Chapel and I are leaving Thursday. We're going to check Pearson out of school, and we're going to go eat lunch with him and Chapman, and then she and I are going to head to Dallas. So watch the Tide roll and see if we can't come away with a good trip. Hopefully the Tide will win. They're also experiencing the new quarterback thing, but you know, it's It's going to be a lot of fun. We just enjoy the trip. It's the only trip that she and I get to take, just us, just the two of us.
Well, just the two of y'all and me, right?
Are you going? You're going to have to miss your game Thursday.
No, I guess I won't. Okay. I guess I won't, but, you know, the next time. Okay. The next time, brother.
Deal. Fair enough. All right, Jess, tell us where we can be. Tell them where we can be found.
Well, you can find us on Facebook and now on Facebook Live. And just go to facebook.com/ministryzoo, and you can find us on Twitter. We're at ministryzoo. Our Gmail account is ministryzoo@gmail.com, and you can find us on the podcast app, on iTunes, find us on Google Play. So go search for us, and we'd love to hear from you. And be tuning in, because we're pretty close to a giveaway. So be listening up, and for those details, and we'll try to get you those details next week. And I guess that's pretty much it. It's been a good day. It's been good being with you.
Yeah, go Cubs.
All right, we're out.